Proverbs 18:10, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it and are safe. Proverbs 18:10. Proverbs 30:5, every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Proverbs 30:5. Verse 16:7, for the Lord sees not as man sees, for man looks on the outward appearance, but the Lord looks on the heart. 1 Samuel 16:7. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to the book of Ephesians, the book of James, chapter 5, verse 18. James chapter 5, verse 18. James chapter 5, verse 18. We'll give you time to find it while our children are moving to their classes. And we'll just let you know that we're coming to the end of the book of James. We only have a few more sessions, and then we'll be moving into a different study. So I just wanted you to know that we are in James chapter 5, verse 18. You will see this verse on the screen before you. And you will see it also on the back of today's bulletin. So if you cannot see the passage very well from where you're sitting, if you'll look on the back of your bulletin, you'll be able to see James chapter 5, verse 18. The purpose of our being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of God's Word. That's our purpose for being here. God has given us a system, and the system is the grace system of comprehending, which simply means that when we are in fellowship with our Lord, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we do that, then that means that we are in harmony with our Lord, filled with the Spirit, and we're ready to comprehend truth. That's the reason why God has been so good to us to give us the means by which we can understand the Bible. We cannot understand the Bible if we're not in harmony, in tune, in fellowship with the Lord. And that's the reason why we spend a few moments in prayer before we begin each service to be sure that each individual prays, each individual is in harmony with the Lord so that they can properly receive what God has to say from His Word. In the light of what I've just said, may we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're here today to accept again Your wonderful Word. And we pray that in these moments we're studying today that we'll have the kind of reception in our hearts that we need to have to be able to take the things which You have for us and not only hear them with our ears, but hear them with our hearts, that we might then be able to utilize these wonderful spiritual truths. And we thank You for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen. We begin our reading in James chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. James chapter 5, verse 17, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. It did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. Verse 18 of James chapter 5, and he prayed again. The sky poured rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Verse 19, my brethren, if anyone among you strays from the truth, and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. I'm sure that all of you here today are aware of the fact that the Bible is the most unusual book. And most of you are aware of the fact that the Bible has a lot of different subjects, a lot of different interesting things, and there's one thing for sure, when we study the Bible, The Bible doesn't hold back on any particular thing. The word that I want to look with you at today is the word famine. The most severe famine. I want to ask you, first of all, to very quickly think in your mind, what does the word famine mean to you? None of us experience this because we're not hungry. We're not starving. We are all pretty well off, I guess. In other words, you were able to get dressed today and put some clothes on. You spent the night in a house probably somewhere. You had a roof over your head. You had some food this morning. So you're not starving. Your life is not characterized by deficiency of anything particularly. There's not extreme hunger. But the Bible has a lot to say about the word famine. And so I'm going to ask you, if you have your Bibles, to follow me today. We're going to be seeing in these moments some very interesting things about famine. The word famine means extreme food scarcity. It means a shortage of food. It could be meaning a widespread hunger, deficiency of something. When I looked the word famine up, I discovered that there are many synonyms that describe it. Shortage, want, dearth, deprivation, insufficiency, starvation, scarcity, lack, distress. You see, all of those different words that I've given you, these are all synonyms for the word famine. If you're looking at James 5:18, it says that here's a man who prayed again with reference to Elijah, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. I'm going to give you now 8 points. So I'm going to ask you, if you will, to be writing these down. You'll not be able to take everything. I'll not be able to tell you everything. But I'm going to give you some scripture references, and you will want to take these down. Now, the interesting thing is, I knew what I was going to say, so I looked these verses up before I got here. In fact, I did it all week getting ready for you. And I realized that as I'm giving these verses, I'm not going to be able to get you to get to those passages as rapidly as I can because I already have them marked. I knew where I was going. Now I want to take you so you can go where I've been going and so we can go together. Isn't that wonderful that we can go together? The first passage I want you to turn to is Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12. What I want to quickly tell you is that when you come to the book of Genesis, to the 12th chapter, you're going to see the beginning of the age of Israel. You'll see the beginning related to a man by the name of Abraham. And what I want to do is just read the first 10 verses. Now the Lord said to Abram in Genesis chapter 12, "Go forth from your country, from your relatives, and from your father's house, to the land which I will show you. And I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great. And so you shall be a blessing, and I will bless those who bless you. And the one who curses you, I will curse. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I'm sure that you're able to see that this is an emphasis upon the subject of getting the right attitude toward Israel. This is not an emphasis upon anti-Semitism at all. And notice now, in verse 5, Abram took Sarah his wife and Lot his nephew and all their possessions which they had accumulated and the persons which they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan. Thus they came to the land of Canaan. Notice now Genesis 12, verse 6, Abram passed through the land as far as the site of Shechem to the oak of Moreh. Now the Canaanite was then in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give you this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. Then he proceeded from there to the mountain on the east of Bethel, pitched his tent with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. What is interesting here, and you're already able to see it, that immediately the Lord is showing us that Abraham, or Abram at this time, his name has not yet been changed, he is building an altar to the Lord and he is calling upon the name of the Lord. But look at verse 9. And Abram journeyed on, continuing toward the Negev. And then verse 10 is the verse that I want you to see. We're in Genesis chapter 12, verse 10. Now there was a famine in the land. So Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was severe in the land. Now in my preparation for this message today, when I found this verse of Scripture, I saw that it said that Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. And then it says the famine was severe in the land. And the question came to me, what is the most severe famine? Well, just hold that thought in mind. And the second passage that I take you to is Genesis chapter 26. We're going to read only one verse there. Genesis chapter 26. Now there was a famine in the land. Besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So Isaac went to Gerar to Abimelech, king of the Philistines. Now all you're able to see in Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, it says there was a famine in the land. Besides the previous famine that had occurred in the days of Abraham. So I've taken you now to the second passage of Scripture, which is Genesis chapter 26. Now if you'll stay with me, let's go over to Genesis chapter 41. Genesis chapter 41. I've found a very interesting thing here. And you know what? I'm telling you that when you study the Old Testament, you're going to find a lot of interesting things. Here's what I've discovered, and I'll have to read it to you, and then I'll talk about it. It happened at the end of the two full years that Pharaoh had a dream. And he was standing by the Nile. And lo, from the Nile there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they grazed in the marsh grass. Now I want you to stay with me and let's take a look at these cows, because they're beautiful cows and they're ugly cows. They're good ears of corn and they're bad ears. And so I want you to stay with me now. Don't get away, because you'll miss something if you do. Then behold, seven other cows. Well, let's go to two. And lo, from the Nile there came up seven cows, sleek and fat, and they graze in the marsh grass. I read that a few moments ago. Then behold, seven other cows came up after them from the Nile, ugly, gaunt, and they stood by the other cows on the bank of the Nile. Are you getting the mental picture? We have seven cows that are beautiful, and they're sleek, and they're fat, and they graze in the marsh grass. Then there are seven other cows that came up after them from the Nile, and these cows are ugly, and they're gaunt, and they're lean, and they stood by all other cows on the bank of the Nile. And now here's something you're going to discover that's very unique, and the ugly and gaunt, lean cows ate up the seven sleek and fat cows. Holy moly, I'm telling you, this Bible is something else. Now you folks, don't leave me now, and behold, seven ears. Well, let me tell you something. Pharaoh was taking a nap and he had a dream. It seemed like he woke up, then he went back to sleep and had another dream. He fell asleep and dreamed a second time. This is verse 5. And behold, the seven ears of grain came up on a single stalk, plump and good. Then behold, seven ears, thin and scorched by the east wind, sprouted up after them. Now look at this. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Are you getting the mental picture? Here we have seven ears that are of grain that are plump and good. And then behold, there are seven ears of thin and scorched by the east wind. They sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed up the seven plump and full ears. Then Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. Now, I don't need to get into this as far as reading every word, but I want you to see that Pharaoh wants to know what's going on here. And so he's called some other people to come in to give him some assistance, and they're not able to do anything. They're not able to interpret. But there's a guy that was familiar with a man of the name of Joseph. He said, you know what, I've had some experience with Joseph, and Joseph has the ability to interpret dreams, so won't you call on him? Now I'm going to skip over a little bit. Verse 14. Then Pharaoh sent and called for Joseph. And they hurriedly brought him out of the dungeon. That's where he was. And when he had shaved himself and changed his clothes, he came up to Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, I've had a dream, but no one can interpret it. And I've heard it said about you that when you hear a dream, you can interpret it. Now look at verse 16. Joseph then answering Pharaoh saying, now please notice this. It is not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer. I want you to be able to see something here that Pharaoh is not, that Pharaoh is getting an answer from Joseph, but he is not getting an emphasis upon the ability of Joseph. So Pharaoh spoke to Joseph, and he said, here's what I want you to know. In my dream, I was standing on the bank of the Nile, and behold, seven cows, fat and sleek, came up out of the Nile, and they grazed in the marsh like grass. And lo, seven other cows came up after them, poor and ugly and gaunt and lean. I've never seen such ugliness in all my life. Now, I put that all my life in there. That's just a little extra. And the lean and ugly cows ate up the first seven fat cows. Have you ever heard of a fat cow? And yet, when they had devoured them, it could not be detected that they had devoured them, for they were just as ugly as before. And then I awoke. In other words, you would think that if you're ugly and you eat fat cows, that'd make you beautiful. But when they got through eating the fat cows, they were still as ugly as they'd been before. Now, we could get into something about eating and diet and all that, but let's just move on. I saw also in my dream, and behold, seven ears full of good came up on the single stalk. And lo, seven ears withered thin and scorched by the east wind sprouted up after them. And the thin ears swallowed the seven good ears. Then I told it to the magicians, but there was no one who could explain this thing to me. Look at verse 25. We're in Genesis 41:25. Now Joseph said to Pharaoh, Pharaoh's dreams are one and the same. God has told to Pharaoh and what he is about to do. The seven good cows are 7 years, and the seven good ears are 7 years. The dreams are one and the same. Verse 27 is the verse that you need to highlight, underline, mark. The seven lean and ugly cows that came up after them are 7 years, and the seven thin ears, scorched by the east wind, shall be 7 years of famine. It is I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown to Pharaoh what he is about to do. Behold, 7 years of great abundance are coming to all the people in the land of Egypt. And after them, 7 years of famine will come. And all the abundance will be forgotten in the land of Egypt. And the famine will ravish the land. I want you to get a mental picture of famine. Now, if you will, please, let's go to Genesis 41. I've already been there, right? Let's go to Genesis 47, verse 13, my number 4. Now, there was no food in all the land. This is Genesis 47, 13. Now, there was no food in all the land because the famine was very severe, so that the land of Egypt and the land of Canaan languished because of the famine. So far, I've given you four passages of Scripture. Genesis chapter 12, Genesis chapter 26, verse 1, Genesis 41, verses 1 through 30, and Genesis 47, verse 13. Now I would like for you to turn, if you will please, to 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 1. 1 Kings 17, 1. I didn't put this down as one of my numbers, so you just don't mark this one, but let me read it to you. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was one of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word." Perhaps all of you are putting this together. You're able to see that the passage of Scripture that we're studying here in James chapter 5, verses all through here, 17, 18, down through here, is an emphasis upon the fact that Elijah prayed in relation to a severe time of famine that was for 3 or 3.5 years. Now, the next passage, which is number 5, is the book of Jeremiah. If you will, please, let's go to the book of Jeremiah. I have it marked so I can get there quickly. Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 15. If you're not able to go to all these passages, please write the reference down so that you can look at it later, because I have a lot to say to you in a very few minutes, and I'm getting to a point that the major point will be at the very end of this message. In Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 15. "Therefore, thus says the Lord concerning the prophets who are prophesying in my name, although it was not I who sent them, yet they keep saying, there shall be no sword or famine in this land. By sword and famine, those prophets shall meet their end." In other words, there's great famine in Samaria in Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 15. Now, if you will, please, let's turn on in the Bible to the book of Lamentations. I'm sure that you'll be able to find that. That's right before the book of Ezekiel. So just keep on turning. If you get lost, go to the front of your Bible, find the index there, and you'll find the book of Lamentation. I'm going to read for you Lamentations 5:10. An interesting thing about famine. Here's a picture of a terrible time of famine. The famine was with such intenseness, it says, "Our skin has become as hot as an oven." Now, I don't know whether you know much about an oven, but I don't know all that much either, other than I can tell you that an oven gets hot. It can be a microwave, it can be a regular oven, whatever it is, it can get very hot. And this verse of Scripture in Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10 says, "Our skin has become as hot as an oven." Why? Because of the burning heat of famine. That's Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10. The seventh one is in the New Testament. Let's go to the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 25. Luke chapter 4, verse 25. What I'm trying to do is to point out to you that throughout the Word of God, there are many emphases on the word famine. And I have a purpose and a reason for presenting all this to you today. Now, in Luke 4, 25, "But I say to you the truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land." Now, I want you to see that we're in Luke chapter 4 and verse 25. All of these verses have to do with leading us up in our thinking on the subject of famine to what we have in James chapter 5. "But I say to you, in truth, there are many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, when a great famine came over all the land." Now, some of you are wondering, where is the preacher heading with all this? I've just given you 7 different passages of Scripture. Let me see if I can repeat those where you can look down at your notes and see. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 10. Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. Number 3 is Genesis chapter 41, verses 1 through 30. Number 4 is Genesis 47, verse 13. Number 5 is Jeremiah chapter 14, verse 15. Number 6 is Lamentations chapter 5, verse 10. Number 7 is Luke chapter 4, verse 25. And one more. This is number 8. And I'm going to ask you to find this, please. You're going to find this quite alarming You're going to find this quite interesting. It is the book of Amos, chapter 8, verse 11. Now, I'm going to give you time to find that, because some of you may not be all that familiar with all the chapters of the Old Testament. So just turn until you find it. I just reminded you a few moments ago of Ezekiel. I reminded you of the fact that there are other books, Lamentations, which precedes the book of Ezekiel. And then there are other books, Jeremiah, Isaiah. If you find any of these, you're getting close. Are you getting close? Do you have a Bible? Okay. You've got to study your Bible. Please, let's see what we've got here. The most severe famine is what we're talking about. And now, I'm not talking about the person who sits to the left or right of you. I'm talking about you. Oh, wait a minute. Preacher, you mean to tell me that you spent this whole time talking about other people, and now you're going to talk about me? Yes, I'm going to talk about you. So if you will, please put an invisible circle around yourself. Just in your mind, draw an invisible circle around yourself. And you say, my lovely preacher, my wonderful preacher, my preacher is talking about me. Not about the person who sits to the right or left, front or back, talking about me. And he's talking about a famine. Now, I know I've had breakfast this morning, so I'm not suffering. I know that I have food and clothing and shelter. I have all these things. So insufficiency doesn't characterize my life. But let me tell you something. There may be the possibility that in this room right now, inside of these invisible circles, there just may be a severe famine. And I stopped long enough to let you think about what I'm saying before I read this verse. I now read it. Behold, days are coming, declares the Lord God, when I will send a famine on the land. I will allow that to happen. Not a famine for bread or a thirst for water, but rather hearing the words of the Lord. A famine of hearing the words of the Lord. The most severe famine that our nation faces today, the most severe famine that you as an individual in this individually drawn circle today, the most severe famine that could ever take place is inside of that circle. And it is in relationship to hearing the words of the Lord. I'm not trying to be ugly to you today, because when I point my finger at you, I want you to know that there are three fingers pointing back at me. Isn't that interesting? In other words, if I point at you and I say, draw that invisible circle, and you get inside that thing and you say, I'm not interested right now in thinking about what others are doing or saying or what they're, however they're growing or not growing. It's me. So I'll point one finger at you and three of these fingers come back to me. And so here's an invisible circle and here I'm in it. The days are coming, I personally believe, that these days have arrived. I believe that there is an insufficiency, a starvation, a severe famine in relationship to individuals and their relationship to God and the Word of God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We're in a sad day, folks, because many people are not interested in what the Bible says. They're not interested in what the Bible says about salvation. They're not interested in what the Bible says about Christian advance. They're not interested in what the Bible says about heaven. They're not interested in anything related to what happens to a person if they leave this life without having accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. They're not interested in that. So there's a severe famine in the land. The Lord has allowed this to take place, and we're in the midst of it right now. You and I must realize that we're in the midst of it right now. And there's something that you and I can do about it. It is not the fact that we can go out and change someone else. We can allow God to change what's inside of that invisible circle that we just drew a few moments ago. Do you see what I'm saying? I thought about this, and I looked this over. You can't believe how much hen scratching. Thank you, darling. I'm so glad I have you. Hen scratching. I told you I had a supporter there. 58 years. Wow. And you can look at this. And I said, leave out some of this and put in some other things here. And there it is. God pronounces judgment on Israel. A basket of ripe fruit ready for punishment in Amos chapter 8, verse 11. What is happening here when I look at the background of Amos chapter 8, verse 11? Here's what's happening. They're having their religious festivals. And people are going to these religious festivals. They're calling it, in our day, they would call it church. And they couldn't wait for these holy days to be over so that they could get back to making money. Oh, I can't wait till the preacher gets through preaching so I can get back out into the events of the world so that I can become again entangled with the entanglements of the world. That's a severe famine. When I look at this in Amos chapter 8, verse 11, I discover that people were deceitful. And they were selfish. And they were cheating. And they were immoral. And they put on a religious front. Oh, did they ever put on a religious front? They would make you think that they were submitted and committed to God, when in reality their hearts were far away. That's a severe famine. A severe famine. Did you notice that there are two verses of Scripture on the back of your bulletin today? Would you look at it, please? And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth brought forth her fruit. My brothers, I'm sure that you're aware of the fact that chapters and verses, all that came later. In other words, when you study God's Word, you discover that it's together. So don't separate. He prayed again. Aorist, middle, indicative verb. Pros, eukamai. Oh, beautiful word. Eukamai is a word, Eucharist, which means thanksgiving. It's the Lord's Supper, the Eucharist. And pros means face. So we have a compound Greek word here. Pros, eukamai. It's a deponent verb. It simply says that this man, Elijah, prayed again. He participated in that prayer. He was benefited thereby. It's real. It's very real. And when he prayed again, what happened? The heavens opened up. And it says the earth brought forth fruit. But please notice that you move right quickly into verse 19. And we'll look at that in the next session in a little bit. My brothers, if anyone among you errs from the truth, if they get away from the truth, there is the most severe famine. What I'm trying to do is to make every person who's inside of this invisible circle right now uncomfortable. You say, well, I wish old so-and-so was here to hear this message. They need it. I wish my neighbor could be here today because they surely do need to hear this message. Let me tell you something. You need to hear this message. And I need to hear this message. The most severe famine that could ever take place in your life and mine is for us to be away, away from God and God's plan for us. And let me quickly tell you, in these last moments, God's plan is beautiful and wonderful and great and magnificent. And God loves you individually. He knows you by name. He knows you so well, the Scripture says, He even knows the number of hair you have on your head. That's more than you and I know about ourselves. That's quite a bit of knowledge that He has about us. If He knows us that well, then He is concerned about us being proper inside of that invisible circle, so that we will not be suffering this most severe famine. If you look at that passage of Scripture, let me see it again with you. The book of Amos, what does it say? When I analyze this, I see it says, days are coming. I personally believe the days are here when there is going to be a famine in the land. It's not a famine primarily for bread. It's not a famine primarily for water. It's a famine in relationship to people who are not willing to hear God's word. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. I believe these are very important thoughts. Something that should challenge every person who sits in this auditorium and every person who hears this message by way of the internet. The greatest thing that could ever happen to any individual is to be in harmony and in right relationship with the Lord. To the person who hears this message who's never accepted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I want to encourage you today to realize that when God loved, He loved you. And He was willing to give His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what He did. That's the reason why John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish, but have eternal life." If you would believe, you would accept Him as your Savior now. Jesus said, "I will save you." Because He's the only way. He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by Me." There's only one way of salvation, and that's through the person of Jesus Christ. The hypostatic union simply means that God's Son left heaven's glory and came to the earth to become the God-man. And as man and as God, He was the one qualified to die for the sins of the world. If you'll trust Him, He'll save you. Father, thank You so very much for this wonderful day and the privilege of realizing the importance of not having a spiritual famine in our own individual hearts and lives. And we thank You that You provided everything we need to have joy and victory and triumph in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.